Father, we're just humbled before you in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus. And Lord, the beauty that you would not only come to sup with us, but as Jesus said to that man, I'm coming to your house today. And oh, the home that you have made in us, Lord God. The treasure in these earthen vessels. The treasure in the likes of us. And Lord, your faithfulness. And yes, the words, so true. I've come to stay. Thank you that you've come to stay. And thank you that you never left. Lord, thank you that you abide faithful, that even in our unbelief, even in our disobedience, even in our unwillingness, even in our absolute defiance, you abide faithful. When I've made my bed in hell, oh God, you are there with me. And not just with me, but loving me and never leaving me, never ceasing to tell me that I am yours. Thank you for that love. Thank you for that faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, that you have graced us to awaken. And Lord, only let us awaken more to the glory of who you are, the glory of the grace and the magnificence of the mercy of our Lord and Savior, now and forever, Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his wondrous name. Praise his wondrous name. And those praises will never cease. Oh, praise his wondrous name. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I pray you're still praying, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I love the godly laughter he gives us. Praise God. But as we turn over there to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and specifically we'll be in verse 10 today, this follows right after Paul's triumph of victory in the grace and mercy of the Lord. I've won him. I've won that crown, hallelujah, and not only to me, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And Paul knows he's ready. He is ready to be offered. What joy unspeakable and full of glory. But yet right after that statement, we have verse 10, and oh, what a burden that one of his like faith precious brethren had fallen away. And here he is. Verse 10, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Now my heart is always heavy reading that statement. The brokenheartedness, not of just Paul, but of Christ in Paul, the heart of Christ in Brother Paul. Demas, who Paul, in other letters, whether they were to the Colossians or the letter to Philemon, spoke of Demas as his fellow laborer in the gospel. It mentions Demas right alongside of Luke in the encouragement to the Colossians. And to those saints there at Colossus, he mentions the name Demas with such joy. He tells those saints, oh, my brother Demas is going to meet you, and he's going to encourage you. This was no doubt a brother that followed Paul as he followed Christ. He was a like faith precious vessel with Paul. a joy and rejoicing, partaking with him together in the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And Paul, as we see, and I have just mentioned those words that Paul, through the Holy Ghost, had spoken of Demas. He extended everything to him. He received Demas with no reservation. He had full confidence in Christ, in him, the hope of glory. And yet, we see Demas has forsaken me. Think of that statement. Demas has forsaken me. We always hear throughout the Word of God, the forsaken is against God. Forsaken the Lord, ones that had. But Paul, he receives this as if he's speaking so personally of himself, which he is in a sense, but he's speaking on a very much higher and more clear plane. He has forsaken the gospel that was given to me. He was a like faith, precious brother, running for the mark, for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And he hath departed. That word departed, that word forsaken is the same word as departed. He departed from that truth. And why? Because we read here that it says he loved this present world. That word loved is the agape love, the divine love. He divinely loved the present world more than he loved Paul's gospel, which he had loved. Demas is a very, if you will, clear representation of the church at Ephesus that's spoken of in the third chapter of Revelation. You ran well. Paul would have said, you had run with me. Your life was pressing towards the mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. All the faith, all the works, all the wonders of God that he had wrought in his faithfulness through your life. But yet there's one thing I have against you. You've left the first love. You've departed. You've forsaken. Don't ever forget that word left, speaking of the Ephesus church. It means divorce. They were running in the gospel that they were married with Jesus Christ. That's the gospel that we have been given. Joint heirs as husband and wife. Joint heirs as husband and wife with Jesus Christ. It saddens me that sometimes, brethren, and I will get after the men a little bit, have a hard time somehow grasping and embracing this bridal thought. How can I be the spouse of Jesus? You better get over that quick. Or you'll begin to explain that, well, he really didn't mean that as a bridal relationship. Are you kidding? But that's what happens when the first love is left. Thoughts, winds of doctrine, things that are appealing to your flesh, your reason. And let me tell you something where your reason will get you. It'll get you in trouble. It'll get you far apart from God's best. It'll take you and your life into something of what could have been so miraculous into something so sad that you wasted your life. The meaning of Demas' name tells us everything. Demas' name means popular with the people. Popular with the people. Isn't that the present world at any moment of time? Popular with the people? What the people are consumed with, what the people are wanting to itch their ears with, what the people and their all-consuming echoes are, what the people and the concern of the masses are. God forbid that would be us. God forbid. But I've seen the love of this present world taking people out of this meeting today. Oh, yes. Yes. Turning from the truth. And I've seen it over the years. This truth applies always. When we become lovers of the present world, we're gone. It's going to take you away. The cares of this life, the cares of this present world will do one thing. It'll stir up the feelings of your flesh. That's exactly what the present world will always do. That's why people are heightened in the feelings of their flesh like never before. That's why people are truly getting to the point we're seeing what will happen, glimpses of, when the bride is taken. People will devour one another. We're seeing what the world even calls insanity. God says a reprobate mind. It cannot get to the right decision. It is beyond that. The ravenous to devour. That's where the love of this present world will take you. Amongst them that would devour you. God encourage. Brothers and sisters, the feelings of our flesh will always turn us away from finishing with the full first love faith for Paul's gospel. It'll defeat you. It will, because it's the word of God. His promises are yea and amen. That word applies always. And I'm no different and you're no different. And if we turn that way, we'll miss it. The full faith fellowship, the love of the truth, that absolute heart, as was expressed by Brother David, my heart panteth after him. You understand what that panting is, because God has graced you. God has given you the vision of what everything is. Everything in his Son. That there isn't anything else. There's nothing else. You've come to the point as Paul, that it's my life, if by any means I might attain. And really, if by any means I might attain to that for you, Jesus. For you. I know it's this immense of blessing to me. But I want to attain and apprehend him in the height of who, embrace him as who he has revealed himself to us to be. I embraced him many years ago as a child. I saw him as my Savior. And I hugged him and I kissed him. And I said, oh, thank you, my beloved Savior. Just a child to love him. Thank you. You love me. And understand in that family and to embrace my Father after embracing his Son. You embrace his Son first before you'll ever embrace the Father. Because you can't call God Father without his Son. You cannot. We are not all God's children. Only by the blood of the Lamb. Only by the blood of the Lamb. That's a wind of doctrine that is so evil. But I embraced my Father. And I've embraced him ever since. But then the Holy Spirit came. And he flooded my heart with more desire. And more vision and more love. And an apprehending that began to become insatiable. There was something that started to grow in my life, just like the passion for a spouse. The need that I've had this wonderful family, I've been loved by these wonderful parents, I've had this wonderful fellowship with my friends, but something's different. I'm falling in love because I see that he is in love with me. He is in love with me. And all I've wanted to do from that day forward is just embrace him.
Hallelujah! Praise you, God!
As the lover of my soul. Brothers, how could we not get that? How could we not get that? All right. Now, they ran well, but the cares of this life, the weights of this world, they hindered. And with those weights and the cares of this life, I'm going to tell you something. The prize will never be obtained. Romans 13:11. This is something we know. See, the Word of God doesn't beat around the bush with us. It doesn't. In matter of fact, it calls you to the responsibility to whom much is given, much is required. You are required to wake up. You are expected to apprehend. You have been called, if you will, by the sergeant of arms, Brother Paul. Wake up. It's time. And here he is saying, knowing the time, and we know the time. And the time is always with Jesus now. It's not a more convenient time. It's not a later time. It's now. Knowing the time, and now it is high time. Knowing the time, and now it is high time. What he's saying is the same thing again and again. It's the moment. It's the moment. See, the bride that is in love always lives at the moment. Paul lived, he abided at the moment. My bridegroom is coming today. That's the moment. Those are the ones that we rejoiced last week. The dead in Christ shall rise first. They took their last breath, if you will, upon this earth, living that moment. That moment. That moment. And let me tell you something. They will rise first at that moment. That moment never left them. God is faithful to his word. He's faithful and true. And when he says, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away, oh, that moment lived will be rewarded. Praise God. And they'll rise up. Listen to Wednesday night. I tell you, my brethren, and I mean it. I know, praise God, we have run well. I know we have heard the truth. Thank you, Jesus, for decades in this place. And that word is coming forth in the same abundance. But as God always does, with more light upon light. I was visiting with a brother that I know loves the truth. And I'm thankful to God for the fellowship that I have with him. I said, brother, have you heard or have you went back and listened at all to any of the Gentile bride studies? I'm not kidding you. And it wasn't because, let me tell you something. I don't give a study. I don't even give a sermon. If I ever give a sermon, get me out of here. This is the Holy Ghost. You better get this. You better settle down and take what God has. Or you're going to miss this. And you can just go going on through and, well, I've had this and I had this one and I had that. Well, you know what? You're going to be right out there with, well, you know what? I'm just going to take Cephas or I'll have Apollos or you know what? I'm just going to have Paul. Let me tell you something. You better always be joyous about Paul's gospel or you know what? You're going to get a palm. I don't care what you know. It's about what's abounding. Huh? Brother Paul, the one that was given this word, what was he longing for in these prisons? For ones to come and preach to him Paul's gospel. Tell me what's going on in your heart, Timothy. Do you care? Do you care what's going on in Jesse's heart? Do you care about the ministering of the glorious gospel in this vessel that he's appointed to this meeting?
Amen.
Do you care?
Amen.
Do you care? I love you. I can't tell you. But he's revealed these things. Knowing the time, and now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. That's only going to happen one way. That's going to be abiding in the glory doctrine. Here's the glory doctrine. Huh? I know ones that know Paul's gospel and they think, oh, well, I've just been put in the prison. No, you put yourself in a prison. Here's the prison with Paul. One mind, one spirit, one doctrine. Come on. Oh, amen. I tell you what, I'm brand new. I was about ready to lay under a tree and say, take my life. But I ate something. I ate some. And it's coming out. Praise God. The defining moment must come. But the defining moment must remain. Nothing is worthy to be compared with the glory. With the glory. Do you hear him say to you, you're my glory? And you say back to him, oh, but you're my glory. No, you're my glory. Nothing is worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Amen. Oh, it don't look right now. It might not appear, but we know. Oh, when he appears. And I see him in this gospel, which I've been seeing him. And I'm seeing him. And as I told him this morning, as I looked up, I said, oh, I see you. I see you. I'm going to be like him. In the fullness of his glory. Isn't that something? See, I want to be in the fullness of his glory for him. I ache and groan to be that joy. For him. Now. You see, if his great love for you is your treasure, you know what happens? That love always overcomes. If his great love is your treasure, that love always overcomes. You know how you're a full overcomer through Christ? Because his love for you is your treasure. His love for me lifts me above all of it. Lifts me out of all of me, and I'm a lot. Oh my goodness. You talk about drama. Lifts me right out of my drama. Lifts me right out of all my concerns for me. Huh? It lifts me out of all my temptations. Even as they're going on. That love lifts me. And I'm counting it all joy. All joy. You mean you're joyful when you're being tempted? Oh, yes, I am. Have you ever read James? Oh, my goodness. His love lifts you out of every hurt. His love lifts you out of every disappointment. His love lifts you out of the lies of the world. But notice, it's His love for you. It must garner your attention always. Always. Always, 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 always. True love treasures the love of the lover. True love treasures the love of the lover. That's why you love to hear this message. That's why you come here. Because you treasure the love of the lover. You go hear a lot of things about Jesus. And thanks be to God, however Christ is preached. But if you treasure the love of the lover, there ain't anything else that you're going to hear but this. That's it. There's no other gospel. That was Paul. That's why he said, if anybody ever preached to you any other thing, it is accursed. It's accursed. That's why this brother could say with absolute assurance, who are you, Paul? Well, you have forsaken me. What, do you think you're Jesus? No, I've got this gospel, honey. And you know what? I've got this gospel, honey. Yes. Is this word alive and living? I believe it is. Is it the same yesterday, today, and forever? I know it is. I know that. Then why do I let the enemy try to make something different about it? Why is my life so different than what the Word of God says it must be to win His best? How can I just say, well, I'm going to do it my way? God just did it up until 14 years ago and then it stopped. We got to get running. We got to get running. See, brothers and sisters, when this love, praise God, this vision of His love for us becomes our own, that love has a vision beyond the circumstance. That love has a vision beyond the reality and sees only the promises of love. See, that's the problem. I'm telling you that we have. We see reality. I want to see the promises of God's love. That's God's possibility for me, but I'm even seeing it greater than the possibilities of God. It's the promises of God's love for me. Why would I not walk in the promises of God as opposed to man's sad reality? I mean, it's sad. Oh, brother, but you know, I've got to do this and this is that and, you know, this is practical and all of that. And I just sit there and shake my head and say, oh, my goodness, it's pitiful. It's pitiful. Who are we? What do we have? Brothers and sisters, we have a life that will look past the now and see the future. Do you abide in that? Or do you just abide now? No, I'm living over there. I'm living over there. Praise God. You have this love of the lover in your life. You'll look past you and your physical life and you'll see the Lord and you'll lay hold of your eternal life over there. Yes, praise God. That's when you'll have a vision, as Paul said, I glory in that man that I hope to be. That man, praise God. That will rule and reign jointly together with Him. That one. That one. But see, that's not lived without His great love alive and living and abundant. First love abundant. Brothers and sisters, praise God, that's when your heart's affections are set on the things above. Not just I'm set on going to heaven, but I'm receiving right now the exceeding riches of His grace. I am receiving right now the promise of ruling and reigning jointly together with Jesus Christ. Yes, I'm abiding as a readied wife. Praise the Lord. And I can say with Brother Paul, not that I've already apprehended, but I'm resting in the grace of God. If I'm abiding as a readied wife, I rest in the love of my husband. I don't base my standing with Christ on the opinions of any man. It's based on the promises of God. It's built on the rock. And let me tell you something. That rock is higher than any one of you. And me. Now. Are you literally daydreaming of what awaits you? Is your life lived daily longing to be His glory for Him? I believe we're missing something if it isn't lived that way. I mean, I've got a daughter coming in 2 weeks. My father might have a daughter coming today. I'm excited. Yes. It's so true. I've got a daughter coming for my son. What are we longing for every day? Glory for Him. The good pleasure of His will. We've defined that every way but sideways. That's ecstasy. His very ecstasy. I love my Uncle John. He's delirious in the Lord. He just gets it. You know, there's some people that don't get it, never will get it. How about you getting it? Aren't you thankful you get it, honey? And think, you've loved Jesus for how many years? Lots of years, haven't you, honey? But you heard this. It's not this place. It's not because it's Living Waters Church. It's because it's this message. And it is so valuable. It is so valuable. It's what Paul. He suffered the loss of everything. Everything. There wasn't anything else. And it was to His greatest benefit. It was for His greatest blessing. Of all that loss, of all those things, of all that suffering, I count it but dung. I'm sorry I have to say this, but I was pressed. And the Holy Ghost had to just lay it down. But none of it mattered. None of it. And here we are. We're amongst vessels that are going through such pressing things and death sentences. And you know what? They're counted but dung. It's so marvelous. You're with them and I'm receiving abundant life. I'm with them and I'm being encouraged. And if you're not, you need to get around. You need to get around those. I'd rather be around those than them. Because them is the circle of palms. But those, honey, there's nothing else in life but a crown. But a crown. Now, let me tell you, Is winning God's best, is it in your life to bring Him the greatest joy? Is winning God's best, do you get it that it really is all for Him? I mean, I know it's, but as He said, He laid it down early on. I forgave your sins for my sake. This is my plan. This is for the good pleasure of my will. You're mine. Are you excited about that? Is that wonderful? Do you see that? This is for Him. Praise you, Jesus. But I will tell you this. It comes down to this. What you love. What do you love? What do you love? Be honest. Be honest. I'll tell you, if there's a time to be honest, you better be honest today. Because I don't know how much of this is going to come forth anymore. This time that shall be no more, it's going to cut right off. Right off. I heard about a young man who knows this doctrine. He says, well, you know, I know that, but I'm okay. I want to kind of go into that time and see. You don't want to go into that time and see. Oh no, the wickedness of men right now, it doesn't even to compare to what's going to be. When the devil comes forth like a roaring lion, and he has not come forth like a roaring lion yet. But when he comes forth like a roaring lion, let me tell you something, you don't want any of that. You don't even want the precursors of the signs of that after the bride's gone. That's just foolish talk. But see, the devil will make you foolish. You don't lock into this message when God has poured it out for your life. The devil will make you a fool. You'll say foolish things. You'll go foolish ways. Are you like a Demas? Are you like a Demas? Let me tell you something. His first love was something in the present world. Is your first love something in this present world? I'll tell you one thing. It leads to one place. Thessalonica. Thessalonica. It's alive and well today. A lot of people say, well, that was just a city a long time ago in biblical times. Nope. Thessalonica, the definition and the meaning of that name is false victory. False victory. Demas loved this present world and departed unto a false victory. It's alive and well today. It's the same present world today. That's what anything you are loving and chasing in the world today. If you're chasing this world to give you meaning, be honest. Be honest. Are you chasing something in this world to give you meaning? Are you chasing and loving something in this world to make you content? Are you chasing and loving something in this world to give you justice? Are you chasing and loving something in this world to validate you? Find meaning about you. And you may think, listening to this right now, oh, I'm winning. You may think, oh, no, you don't get it. I'm satisfied. No, I get it. It's the greatest robbery of your life. It's the absolute. You have been robbed. You have been violated. You have been robbed. And let me tell you something. There's going to be desolation. And there's going to, oh, God, don't let them go this way. Don't let them go this way. Don't lay hold of a false victory. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't fool yourself. Don't go that way. It is a lie. And it will cost you the crown. It'll cost you this beautiful crown. We have been given this message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus in this marvelous church age. What we know in the love of Christ for us is beyond. Do you think it is time to wake out of slumber? Do you think it's high time? I think it's high time. That means now time, not tomorrow time. It's now. Come on, brethren. We've known one another for a long time, honey. It's now. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Lord, as we come to commune with you in this wonderful time, Lord, this is the sweet, wondrous, oh, hallelujah, the body that you had given, the blood that you poured forth. Lord, we do this in remembrance that you finished it for us. To give us this, to be this for you. My beloved is mine. Oh, my beloved is mine, and I am his. And I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. And that we know. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.